The Watcher by Maureen Marsh.
I am watching you. That's right. I'm watching you every day. I've become familiar with your routines, your likes, your dislikes. I know who you talk to and who you avoid. I know the foods you like to eat. I know when you are ill. I watch you very closely. Let me introduce you to yourself. You are a man whose face once inspired trust, once handsome, now turned into a twisted version of that face. A jaw once strong and defined, now all definition is lost as the jowls hang like curtains, and eyes that once sparkled with bright blue clarity now disappear behind fleshy walls. The eyes tell a story of mistrust and bitter anger. Those anger lines have spread and now embedded into your forehead. Your voice has just a hint of a crack, as though you were about to cry or shout or both. You wake early and leave for work around 7 a.m. You drive an old model Fiat, which you squeeze into with difficulty because you like your tucker a little too much. You drive the short distance to your job in town as a food store manager. I watch you through the steamed up windows as you bark orders to your subordinates, who nod and smile acquiescently and stick two fingers up at you behind your back. It may come as no surprise to you that you are uniformly disliked by all. It is no surprise to me, as I carry the weight of a deeper form of dislike, one that may be characterised as akin to hate. I have reason, but more of that later. Let's stick to the story of you. I recall that you had a lady friend at one time, maybe 6 years ago now, when your spirit was still savable and your hope still palpable. This did seem to bring out a gentler side to your nature. You began to smile a little more. I would watch you arm in arm walk into town for a coffee, your face strangely animated in a way that I had rarely observed before. Your lady friend, small and neat and what could only be described as patient, for patience is surely required for someone such as you, one that has standards so high and morals so low. There you were, almost normal for a time with your lady friend, her strawberry blonde hair undulating in the breeze, a smile spreading across your face like the cat that got the cream. However, the cream soon turned sour as you began, perhaps inevitably, to bully, to humiliate, to spit out your venom. This often took place in public in full view of strangers who would cautiously stop to stare at this bitter drama taking place. "What do you mean you forgot the time? You have a bloody watch, woman. I'm not in the habit of being kept waiting by idiots." It will come as no surprise that your uptick in behaviour and circumstance came to an abrupt end. I recall watching as she left your house one evening with puffy red eyes and a small travel bag on her arm, never to return. You do seem to have a singular gift for displeasing anyone that has the misfortune to enter your cursed door. I do sometimes wonder why. I'm told by relatives and friends who live near you and who have passed on their stories of you that your childhood was troubled, that you yourself were shouted at as a boy. But really, I find that an unconvincing excuse for carrying on the story of pain and anger. And furthermore, I have learned to save myself useless emotion. So why am I so interested in you? Why am I following you? Such an unpleasant beast. Observing you, taking this personal interest. Well, I have a personal reason. For context, I live close to you with my family. I have many friends who also live near. We are what you might describe as a community. and we have long noticed your terrible and abusive behaviour to our neighbours, friends and loved ones. Let's get very specific. Do you recall 2 years ago? It was January. It was cold, icy cold, and you had got or had been given that BB gun. Do you recall? You gained a sense of satisfaction from taking aim at cans in your yard and watching them fall, but perhaps it gave you a sense of power over matter, and that would be fine if it had stayed with the cans, but it did not. You began to take aim through your upstairs bedroom window, that squalid little room with the brown polyester curtains, that smell of stale cigarettes from the roll-ups that you smoke. That bare little room in a bare little house. It is damp and grimy. A tour de force of neglect and bitterness. Here is where the story took place, because you began to take aim at aliveness, at rats and cats, and even that little toddler with his mum, who began to scream as his mother looked down in surprise at his bleeding arm and looked around. You slipped inside your little squalid room and hid behind the curtain. Even you must have realised you'd gone too far. Indeed, you stopped shooting that hideous weapon for a couple of days, but then your mean, twisted black heart could not keep it in. You had to shoot again. And this time you shot my wife. My beautiful wife, the mother of my children, my faithful, loyal, beautiful wife, my wife, sir! You didn't know that, did you? As you shot her from your nasty little vantage point, you shot her in the head and she stumbled into the road and got run over by a large white truck and she died, sir. She died in that road, her blood and guts trailing into the rainy night. So I watch you. I watch you with my family, my friends, my community. We all watch you together and we communicate with each other your whereabouts, what you're doing, what you're eating, what you're feeling. We watch and we know there will come a time. That time is today, sir. You are about to cross the road to that lovely little deli that you like to buy smoked salmon from on a Friday afternoon. We're watching you. And I go first. I drop a large turd onto your face. You are confused. My brother goes next and shoots another big turd onto your head. Then another on your face, blocking your eyes, and you stumble into the road. Then we really go for it, laughing and shouting encouragement to each other as we continuously throw our shit on you as you stumble into the path of a large bus and bam! You are smashed into the windscreen and fall dying onto the road, and justice is done. And we fly back to our vantage points on the roof. I stare over to my brother and he nods back, the shine of his dark black wings showing a reflection of justice finally enacted.